We'll live to see another new year, 2018. We're depending on you and we're holding on to your unchanging hands. So Lord God, have mercy upon us. Continue to bless and keep. Lord God, continue to make crooked paths straight and open up doors for us that only you can open, and close doors that must be closed. Lord God, we are trusting in your faithfulness, trusting in your love for us. And so, Lord God, speak now because we're listening. Speak a word of hope and a word that we could take through the new year. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength. You are our Savior and our Lord. Amen. Well, I know that today we are, I know it's cold outside and it may be a little bit cool in here. We probably should have put the heat up higher, but I want you to be excited because you've lived through 364 days of the year. We are on the 365th, aren't we? And so, you know, even though it's a little bit cold and people, it seems so like we're not at a funeral, we're really at a celebration. Amen. Right? When you look back, when there's a songwriter says, when I look back over my life and think of what God has done and how he has brought me over. Many of some folks have faced difficulties during this year. Some folks have faced health challenges. Some folks have friends and loved ones who have faced health challenges, and you know, and some folks have faced financial challenges, and you know, and other folks have, you know, may have emotional challenges. And Lord, we live in a world, in a country that every day on Twitter we could face a challenge. We hear something that depresses us or make us angry, or we don't know what to do, and folks are killing folks, and all kinds of stuff are happening, but yet we are still here. And for that, we are thankful to the Lord.
Amen.
We give God thanks and praise. Listen, every day I wake up, I'm so grateful sometimes I don't know how you don't hear me dancing and singing. Just for the main fact that I got up.
Amen.
Right? That my bed was not my cooling board. I get up, so when I get up and I look around and I see the place looks like my bedroom, I says, I'm still here.
Amen.
And so, today we want to go into the new year being hopeful that God, who has been faithful to us. Yeah, we may be a little bit weary and from all the eating and the shopping and so on, but guess what? God didn't tell us to do all of that, and he's still with us. And so my sermon title today is, which a song I thought about us singing, but I think we'll do it next week. My sermon title is A New Beginning. We have the hope of a new beginning. Every new year, we have the hope of a new beginning, no matter what has happened last year. And there's a song that is, this is a day of new beginnings. There's a song in our hymnal that goes that way. I thought about it after the fact. I thought, what a song to end with today. And it says, this is a day of new beginnings. Time to remember and move on. Time to believe what love is bringing, laying to rest the pain that's gone. Right, the songwriter was a United Methodist songwriter, I believe, I forgot his name, who wrote this. For by the life and death of Jesus, love's mighty spirit, now as then, can make for us a world of difference as faith and hope are born again each new year. Then let us, with the Spirit's daring, step from the past and leave behind our disappointment, guilt, and grieving, seeking new paths and sure to find. Christ is alive and goes before us to show and share what love can do. This is a day of new beginnings. Our God is making all things new.
Amen.
All things he's making new. No matter what we are facing, we're still facing difficulty. We, you know, as I was speaking to Marilyn this morning, we know that Gil is not feeling too well, but we're believing God that God will bring him through. God who has brought him through thus far. So we know we have our challenges, but God is still God, still on the throne, will still heal broken hearts. Some of us have lost loved ones, people we care about. God is still in the business of healing broken hearts. Os Guinness, the author of Impossible People, argues that God can use and has used people in their youth to do God's work. But God also has accomplished some of his best work through people more advanced in life experience. So the writer is saying here, God uses everybody. God uses youth to do his work in the world, and God uses folks that are older and seasoned, like the two folks we will see in this text. My message this morning is about two biblical senior citizens and what we could learn from them about the nature of faith. So you know, those of us who are a little bit older, don't think that God can't just call you up to send you somewhere to go do something amazing for God. God may yet call me up and send me to Bangladesh. Not my choice of places, but who knows what God will do. The setting for today's gospel jumps from the stable in Bethlehem to the temple in Jerusalem, where Mary and Joseph had brought Jesus to be presented to the Lord. It was there that they met Simeon and Anna. Simeon had been waiting for a lifetime, in fact, for the coming of the promised Messiah. Waiting is a familiar experience which we talked about before Christmas, as we waited for Christmas to arrive. However, this morning I am talking about a different kind of waiting. The kind of waiting is waiting to reach a goal or waiting for a dream to happen. The kind of waiting we're talking about is waiting for a new beginning. A new beginning in whatever we are expecting or looking for. Some folks are looking for a new beginning with being graduated from college. There's so many possibilities that could happen to us for 2018. Children wait to be grown-ups. Teenagers wait to meet the right boy or girl in their lives. Young adults wait to graduate from college. Husband and wife wait for their child to be born. Middle ages wait for retirement. The longer we wait with nothing seeming to happen, the more impatient and discouraged we become. But here's our hope today. Scripture tells us that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. That God will renew our strength. We see that in Isaiah, don't we? That when we wait upon the Lord, he will renew our strength. Simeon had probably been to the temple hundreds of times without finding his hope fulfilled. Remember, it had been prophesied. And Simeon was in the temple, and he had gone there many times. He wasn't a priest, he was a layperson. And God has a way of using simple folks. This text is about God using lay people, ordinary people, right? The shepherds were ordinary people. God has a way of appearing to ordinary people, right? Not the Pharisees, not the priests and the high priest and all those in charge, but ordinary people. Simeon was one of those ordinary people. So God may just appear to you, friends, in 2018 and give you a brilliant vision for your life, for your church, and for the world. You've got to expect it. God is like that. Simeon had probably shown up many times. I can picture other people coming up to Simeon and saying to him, "Give it up, old man. You're never going to see any Messiah in your lifetime." He was way into his 80s or 90s by that time. "You're a hopeless fool. Forget your dream." Yet Simeon kept waiting on God. There probably were times when Simeon did feel like giving up on his hopes. When he felt that God's promise was nothing but the whistling of a wind in the trees. However, Simeon clung to that hope. Is anybody waiting on God for anything today? You could learn from these two old folks. Simeon kept holding on, kept waiting. And therein, he teaches us something about the nature of faith. Simeon would teach us about the nature of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the assurance of things not seen. Anna, who is described as a prophetess, has been waiting for a new beginning. Simeon was not a priest, but a simple old man, a layman, an ordinary man. And Anna was not an official prophetess. She was merely a devout old woman who came to the temple a lot. Christianity is based on the faith of simple folk. Christianity is based on the faith of simple folks. And so we read in the Bible, these two old people, and to give a little bit of Anna's story, Anna had been widowed at a young age. One can assume that she might have been got married at 13 or so, because that was the age, or around that age she was married, you know, because 13 and 12 was a age they got married in those times. Even some places now they still do that. But she was widowed right away. And at the writing of the text, she had been a one as a, we have added up the years and have come to realize that Anna stayed in the temple all those years, waiting and praying for the coming of the Messiah, that she, the Messiah, would come when she was about 80-something. So for 70-something years, this woman had been waiting and praying for this. I know we live in a world now that, you know, if we don't get it right away, we get angry. But sometimes God makes us wait. Wait till the opportune time. The key to this text is that God is faithful. And we are supposed to trust God. And so here it is now, those two old folks, in their old age, Simeon in his 90s, Anna in her 80s, they're at the temple. And they're waiting for the birth of the Messiah. They're waiting, and they're waiting like they're waiting every day for all those years. And oh, I tell you, church, we can trust our God who is faithful. Who, whatever we're waiting for, He's the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. And the scripture tells us that when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Do we know who they're talking about? The baby Jesus, right? He had to be circumcised and then he had to be presented at the temple. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord. A pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. So they were following the law of Moses because they were Jewish people who would become Jewish Christians. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's promise. That means God had told Simeon that he would not die until he saw the birth of the Messiah. You see, when God makes a promise to us, God keeps his promise. When God makes a promise, we are the ones who tend to step out of the promise. Sometimes we break the promise because God is making the promise. We don't wait. We don't listen. We think he's not moving fast enough. Right? I remember once I heard the story, and this lady, she had been waiting for a husband and waiting for a husband. And she would come to the altar every day, every Sunday, and she would pray to the Lord for a husband. The preacher was telling this. And she would ask God, please send me a husband. And the preacher said, he was praying for her too. Please send her a husband, Lord. Because she would be saying it every week. Well, you know, the pastor said he counseled her and told her to wait on the Lord. But then she saw this guy in the church. Some man showed up, and we'll call him Johnny. There's no Johnny here, is there? Johnny showed up, and the pastor felt that Johnny was not the man for her. That she needed to keep waiting on the Lord. Because Johnny had just shown up in the church and really hadn't got grounded in the Word of God and wasn't really. But she got happy. She wanted Johnny. So she started coming to the altar. God, give me Johnny. Give me Johnny, please. She never waited on God. She went to get Johnny. And she married Johnny. 6 months later, she was at the altar. God, why did you give me Johnny? Why did you give me Johnny? Why did you not take Johnny? So when we don't wait on God sometimes, guess what happens? We have to go back to God and say, why did you give me that thing? Because we're not waiting. But these folks waited on and I know it's hard to wait. We all do it. So do I. I've stepped out in things that didn't work out. And I thought, did God ever tell me this? Because you know what happens with God. And God, I'm just going to say this, God, so you know what happens with God. If God would speak clearly like I'm speaking, if God would call me up in the morning and says, Marjorie, this is what I want you to do today, I would be okay. But sometimes with God, we don't hear it, do we, church? You know, I mean, I wish he would wake me up. The first time he wakes me up and tell me I may have a heart attack, but after that, I'd understand that it's God. I would know his pattern, wouldn't I? I would know it's God. You know what I'm saying? And God would say, Marjorie, don't go to that job. And I say, okay, God, I'm not. Where should I go? But we don't hear God like that, right? God, we're trusting and we're waiting and we're thinking, is this God and is this not God, right? So it's kind of hard to wait, but we have to wait and trust because he's faithful. And then guided by the Spirit, the Bible says Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your words. Simeon was ready to die. He says, I have now seen what you have promised, Lord, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for the revelation of the Gentiles. And so the mother and father were surprised. They couldn't believe. And Simeon blessed the baby and blessed the mother and told him that this child was destined for greatness, destined to be our Savior and our Lord. And then the parents brought Anna, the baby. And this woman who had waited for 70 odd years, now 80 something, would see the fulfillment of that promise. Friends, God is faithful.
Amen. All the time.
This scripture reminds us of the faithfulness of God. That if God says it, I'm trying to find my thing here. If God says it, it is so. Now, how do we put that into our lives, into modern context? And as I stated before, it is not easy to wait. It's not constantly easy to wait for us. It really is a discipline that we have to work on. But does waiting mean that we don't do anything while we're waiting? No. We have to wait and pray. People wait and fast. The beginning of the new year is a good time for many people who believe in fasting, they fast for a meal, they give up one meal, or they give up, there's many churches, the church I came out of, the AME church, the first of the year, for 21 days, they would do like a Daniel fast, only vegetables. There are folks who just do liquid fast, and they're fasting and praying, seeking to hear from God. And they're really committed to it because they think when I have fasted, and I will fast in the new year, because sometimes you clear your mind and you don't focus on the food. You begin when you're fasting, you just don't walk around and say you're hungry all day long. Right? This could be a problem, can't it? Because everybody sees you, if you're going to be fasting and be mean, don't fast. Right? Because if you get hungry, but if you're going to be fasting and really use that time to do what? To read God's word and to pray, you can really get clarity of mind. Because you focus on something else. And so these folks, one would believe that Anna and Simeon were prayers. All those years they kept praying and waiting. Praying and waiting. And God in his faithfulness would do that. So friends, I want to give you a couple of points today and give you a couple of scriptures to ponder since we're looking for new beginning. The first point I want to leave you with is that God is faithful. God is faithful. God will always keep God's promise. He'll always keep his promise. That song we sing that says, "Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy very hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness unto me." Right? That's from Lamentations. Right? That's from the scriptures. God is faithful. Mornings by mornings, every morning we get up is God who wakes us up. Do you know that? We think the faithfulness of God is only because when God gives us a new job, or gives us a house, or gives us a husband or a wife. That's not the faithfulness of God we're talking about. We're talking about life itself. Because sleep is like death. And when we wake up in the morning, it's the faithfulness of God to us who has numbered our years, who knows when we're going to leave this place, but he's faithful to us. And he's been so faithful to us, he has kept us through 2017. Some of us, he has kept us for 60-something years. Some of us for 80-something years. Some of us for 40-something years. Us, the young ones, for 10, 12 years. He has kept us, and we are believing and trusting him that this faithful God will continue to keep us. Amen. Aren't we, friends? God is faithful. Number two, we could trust in God's promises. We could stand and trust in God's promises. That if God says it, it is so. We sing a little song that says, "Standing on the promises that cannot fail. While the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word I shall prevail, standing on the promises of God." The refrain says, "Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior." That's what we are standing on, are his promises. And his promises are founded in his word. Right? God is not speaking outside of his word anymore. It's in his word. And the third point is that God will never fail us. There's a little song we used to sing back home. I don't think we sing the Methodist hymn. It says, "He has never failed me yet. He has never failed me yet. My God has never failed me yet. I want the world to know." Forgot the other part of that line. "I want the world to know that my God has never failed me yet. Never failed me. Have I always gotten what I want? No. Because everything I want is not what I'm supposed to get. I've looked back over my life and some things I wanted, I wasn't supposed to get. Wasn't going to be good for me at that moment. But God has never failed me yet. And God has not failed you. I would hope you can say that. Circumstances have failed us. Human beings have failed us. And we blame it on God. Human beings that we surround ourselves with have failed us, and then we blame it on God. But God will not fail us if you trust him. Even when we go through grief and sorrow and we lose loved ones, right? God doesn't fail. God doesn't fail. Sometimes I lost a beloved cousin a year and a half ago, and I prayed for him to be well, but he was so sick by that time it came, and God took him home. God didn't fail because God has restored him unto himself and made him well. And he's well now for all eternity. So God doesn't fail. And what? Guess what? God has brought his children through and brought us through. We could even laugh and smile when we meet now about some things we could remember. Because God doesn't fail us. God will show up when we need him most. I think of that family My heart was broken, that family in the Bronx. 12 people died in that fire. I wept when I saw it on the news. I says, oh God in heaven, why did this have to happen? The little boy was playing with fire. And all those people dying. And I says, but God, you are still God. And you will have to bring those people through, the mother who has lost her daughter and her 3 grandchildren, to find hope in God, to bring us through. And the other stories and other people. God will not fail us. And so, friends, I want to leave you with a couple of scriptures for you to think on and hold on for yourselves. And we read from Isaiah. Isaiah 40, 30 to 31, because his promises are in his word. And I hope it will put seed in your heart. That it will be in your heart for yourself as you go through. You won't have to remember them verbatim, but you'll remember a couple of these words. God's promises for us that we could hold on. He says here, even youths grow weary and tired, and the young will stumble and fall. But those who wait or hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not get weary. They will walk and not faint. That when you hope in the Lord, right, you could run. You're running through stuff, you'll not get weary. You can walk and not faint, because the Lord will be with you, sustaining you, bringing you through. That's why the scriptures are so wonderful, because the promises of God are in the scriptures. That's how he speaks now for us. They're in here. And then we find in Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, saith the Lord, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." God says, I know the plans I have for you. But how are you going to get those plans? It says in Jeremiah 29:12, when you come and seek me, when you come and pray to me and seek me, you will find me. When you seek me with all of your heart, I will be found by you. We always read Jeremiah 29:11. We forget to read 12. I know the plans I have for you, said the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. But you've got to come and seek me. Seek God. You've got to come and find me. You've got to pray to me with all of your heart. Then I will reveal the plans to you. We can't know his plans if we don't read his word, friends. There where the promises are. Oh, glory to God this day. And Ecclesiastic 3:1 says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. No matter what we're going through, there is a season to it. Sometimes we have to remember it, that this too will pass. By God's grace and hope in God, whatever we are going through will pass. That good will yet come. To everything there is a season, as I bring it home now. And then there's Lamentations 3:22-23. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Because of his great love for us, we are not consumed with grief and problems and all the things we go through. Great is his faithfulness. Friends, these are the words that can buffer your faith. And in Proverbs 16:9 it says, the human mind plans the way, but the Lord directs our steps. We may make plans, but God is the one, when we hope in him, who directs our steps, friends. And then we have in 2 Corinthians 5:13, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone and the new is here. If we are in Christ, God will always make things new in our lives. Right? New beginnings. We could trust in him that he'll bring us through. God will. And then Philippians. I love this scripture in Philippians, and I know this one by heart, a few of them. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So Paul said, whatever is behind, things have happened in 2017 that wasn't all that good, but I'm going to what? Press on. We press on towards the goal. Huh? What is in Jesus Christ? We're going to hold on and press on. And Isaiah 64:4 says, since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. When we wait for God, God will act on our behalf. He will act. And so therefore, my last scripture here is Philippians 4. A beautiful scripture, 6-7. Be anxious, friends, for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. Right? A new beginning. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer, with supplication and thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Whatever our request is, Jesus is saying, don't be anxious. So if you were anxious in 2017, don't be anxious. Go to him in prayer. Take your burdens to the Lord, friends, and leave it there. And he will bring you through. He'll work it out. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, the peace of God, even in the midst of drama and traumatic situation, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. I have lived by these words. When I get overwhelmed and get weary, I call on the name of Jesus. He says, if you call on me, I'll answer. If you call, he says, while you're speaking, I'm answering. How many times during 2017 I have to call on the name of Jesus? Scripture says, while you're speaking, Marjorie, while you're speaking, before you can say it, I'll answer. Trusting in him. Depending on him. He's making a way out of no way, friends, for 2018. We can depend on this God who's faithful. Faithful and mighty. Trusting in him no matter what faces us tomorrow. No matter what comes on January 1st, 2018. He has never failed us yet and he never will. But we've got to believe that, friends. So I'm asking you this on this day of new beginnings. As we look to tomorrow and 2018, no matter what faces us, no matter what will come against us, we know we have a God who will hear and listen to every prayer. Every request, not just the request of the pastor, not the request of the evangelist, not the request of it, but every prayer and request, take it to the Lord in prayer. He's faithful and just because he loved us so much that he would send Jesus Christ. No matter how people beat up on us, we're going to trust in God. I'm so glad to see Frank here today. God has been good to him. Life threw him a curveball and God straightened it out. Thanks be to God for that. And we begin to see God's miracles and his promises. And his words are in, his promises are in this book we call the Bible. So my friends, I may not, who knows what may happen to any of us this year. But I hope you'll hope in him and you'll trust in him. And you wait on him. Even when it doesn't seem real. When people think you're a little bit crazy. It's okay, you don't have to explain. You just says, I've got a savior. And his name is Jesus. Amen. Or I've tried him, friends. And I proved him to be true. Things I think I couldn't come out of. And oh, what a merciful God he is. Oh, what a merciful Savior he is. Amen. He'll bring you, Joan, from grief. He's like that. He's the one who could heal our broken hearts.
when we think we can't come back, if we just trust in Him, because He's faithful. My God is real, the songwriter says, real in my soul. My God is real because He has washed and cleansed me, made me whole. His love for me is like pure gold. His love for you, friends. Our God is real because we can feel it deep in our souls. Oh, glory to God. I got to go this morning because I could keep going. When I'm giving testimonies, I could keep going. But I know time is of the essence. I just want you to leave with this word that God is going to be with you in the new year, no matter what. Amen.
Amen.